Well, welcome back. It's good to see you. And for those who are listening at home, a special welcome to you as well. Even though you're not with us here, we acknowledge the fact that you are with us in spirit. And we look forward to that day when we can all gather together, one together, as God's people here in this building. Will the Lord be with you? Wave to the person next to you. It's great to see you. If you're visiting us today or listening in for the very first time, a very special welcome to you. Now, I'm just going to put up on the screen just a few little things just to remind us as we meet together. Here we go. That we are a COVID-19 safe place. So we have our welcomer and we have our ushers. And thank you for coming in and complying with them as they ushered you in today. We were thinking of getting some little blue hats out for our ushers with Abbotsford Anglican Church on them, and I think we have them in the vestry somewhere, so maybe next week we might have them on. But here, I'm just reminding you, just going through the process here, you know, to wash your hands on entry and exiting as you come in, keep the social distancing, 1.5 metres away from each other, and no hugs and kisses or handshakes, please, all right? But the ecclesiastical, coughing into your elbow. And if you are sick, please stay home and listen in to the service online and join with us when you're well. The service will be recorded each week, and so you can access that from about 11 o'clock onwards on a Sunday morning. We all have a responsibility to keep each other safe. But there's the ecclesiastical elbow tap that we can practice. So why don't we just try that now to show you how you do this properly, all right? Being a clergy person, the ecclesiastical elbow tap, there you go. Or you've got also the pious foot tap that you can do as well. So with that one, it's a little bit dangerous, so no falling over or hurting each other when you're doing that together. Today's service is all on the screen. And we encourage you to bring your own Bible to church or use your Bible app on your phone or iPad if you bring that along. If you'd like to know how to put the Bible app onto your phone or iPad so you can bring it to church, then see me afterwards and I'll show you how to do that. We can't sing, but we will be listening in to a song and we can join in the prayers and the responses together. There will be a time at the end of church today to mingle in the church and to keep social distancing, but there's no morning tea. When you leave, don't forget to wash your hands again under the spray or using the dispensers that we have around about us that are here. And we can't allow loitering in the foyer or the doorways, but you're welcome outside in the playground to chat. The place is warmed up during the morning so that you can come in and feel a little bit warm, but we encourage you to wear warm clothes because we need to keep the airflow coming through to here. Well, let me pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for bringing us safely to this day, gathering us together once more. We come before you with praise and thanksgiving. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. Together we say, Amen. A psalm from Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7. Come, let us praise the Lord with joy. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For our Lord is a great king and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The sea is his, for he made it. His hands molded, formed the dry land. So come, let us bow down in worship and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For we are his people, the sheep of his pasture, the flock that's under his care. This little time now is a time of silent prayer and praise, for I'm sure that you are glad to be together again in this place. And so I invite you now to take a few moments now, a few minutes, just in quiet, silent prayer and praise. And then shortly, three of our members will come up to the lectern and read three prayers to us. Let's pray. Invite Karen and David and Diane now to come up and pray for us.
Please join with me in prayer. Almighty God, our Lord and King, we give praise and thanks to you, for you are good. Your love endures forever. We look to you and offer you our thanks and praise for your overflowing love and care of us, your people here at Abbotsford, during these past 4 months of unprecedented change due to the COVID-19 restrictions in the life of our church. We thank you for your provision of the means by which we have been able to continue to gather around your word online. We especially thank you for all those who have faithfully served our church family in the recording of our weekly services. Almighty God, we praise you that despite what has seemed like a constraint on your church, the gospel has in fact been able to reach more people more often than it previously had. Thank you that your ways and your plans are so much greater than ours, and the work of your Holy Spirit to fulfill your purposes cannot be constrained. With humble and sincere hearts, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks that we've been able to return to meeting together today. We know how important it is as your people that we do this, and at the same time, we are mindful of the reasons not to do so. So today, as some of us gather together, we also bring before you those of our congregation who are not able to join us. Help us all to be united as your children, irrespective of where we are. Help us to show love and care for each other and not show preference or partiality for anyone. We thank you that you call us to be one people in Christ, and we thank you for everyone you have brought together here in this parish and at this time. Lord our God, we honour your name together. Amen.
Loving Father, we thank you for the privilege of fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. As we read through your word, we can be reminded of the way you have always encouraged your people to meet together. All praise to you, Lord, for how you have grown our hearts to yearn to connect with each other, and how grateful we are now to be able to be together again. We thank you for the joy in seeing each other in person. What a blessing it has been on those occasions when we have bumped into someone and been able to have a quick chat. And how much we've been reminded of the value of having such dear brothers and sisters in our extended church family. We ask that you will help us to continue to serve each other well. We are thankful for the reminder of our responsibility for each other and how much we love to help people when we are given that opportunity. Give us also the grace to willingly serve and to receive assistance genuinely offered. Dear Lord, be with us all today as we share in worshipping you in this new era of church. Uphold us as we adjust to differences in how things are done, and help us be grateful for all your goodness to us through this time and always. In the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Even though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants the prophets. The Bible tells us not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God this morning with a true heart in full assurance of faith and pray together. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant, according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God desires that no one should perish, but that all should turn to Christ and live. We confess our sins in response to his call. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A sentence of scripture that sums up this next 4 weeks sermon series from Jonah and Luke 15 comes from Psalm 62 and Jonah 1 verse 10. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Salvation belongs to the Lord. I invite Janice now to come forward and read to us our two Bible readings. And the two Bible readings you can find in your order of service at home as you're listening in, or if you've brought them along and printed them out. But it's also up on the screen that follows. Thanks, Janice.
Good morning. Our first Bible reading is Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 to 16. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. The second reading is from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Once again, good morning. This is a little sermon series over the next 4 weeks of what a good God is. And it's a hard thing to say and hard thing to remember, in fact, what a good God is, the saying. And we're looking at little sermons from the books of Jonah and Luke 15. And today's sermon title is God Desires All People to Be Saved. And in the printout that you would have received, there's a little Bible study that you can use at home or in your Bible studies during the week or around the table. Or if you wish to bring it with you along to church, I encourage you to do with your Bibles. Bring your own pen as well too, because you'll need to take notes as we go along. Well, this morning, we commence the sermon series on the little Old Testament book of Jonah. And it's a familiar story from childhood for many Christians, but it might be a new one to you. For those who know the story of Jonah, the thought brings back to mind a vision, remember, of the big fish swallowing poor Jonah and then spewing him out. That's a bit I remember liking, spewing him out onto the beach to get on with the job. Or it could be that the story brings up an unresolved question in your mind as to how could anyone live inside a large fish for 3 days? What would he look like when he came out? All this. So Jonah is a familiar, but it's also an unusual book. It's an unusual book because it's because of its message and its messenger. You see, unlike the other Old Testament books in our Bibles, its message revolves around a Gentile nation, a non-Jewish nation. And its messenger, unlike other prophets, is a reluctant messenger of God. I assume, knowing what sinners that we are, that we are grateful to God and glad that we're Christians. I sure hope that we are. That having been right with God and made right with God by what Jesus Christ has done for us, that we are truly thankful and grateful for that. That in his work, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his glorious ascension, in all that God has done for us in Jesus, we are really and truly grateful to God for that. And we would choose to live no other way but God's way. And I'm pretty sure I can say for all of us here that, yes, that's what we are. We are truly glad. And I assume also that knowing this and how undeserving that we are, that we would desire for all people like God to be saved, like ourselves. That the thought of not wanting a people or a person hearing this good news of Jesus would never cross our minds. It would never cross our minds that we would not want someone else to hear this good news of how they too can become right with God. Let alone I dare to say that there be any person to find some way to conspire and undermine and hinder others actually hearing the good news about Jesus? Well, it's about 760 BC when we open up this story of Jonah. Worldly speaking, things were good for God's people, the Jews. However, Jewish nationalism and a deep hatred for the people of Assyria, whose capital was Nineveh, and who had been terribly cruel to them, to the Jewish people, in war over many, many years. All this nationalism and this hatred had blinded God's people to the fact that despite what people are like and do to you, God's love and compassion reaches even to the worst of people. God desires all people to be saved. And that God requires also that his people, despite how they have been treated, to still be his blessing to all people. Genesis 12, verses 1 through to 3. Sending the prophet Jonah with God's message of judgment, repentance and forgiveness, despite Jonah's reluctance and disobedience, would bless the people of Nineveh. And it would give Jonah an opportunity to rejoice with God over the Ninevites' salvation. Ultimately, we actually see God's desire and God's blessing fulfilled for all people in such sharp contrast in God's messenger and son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The three parables from Luke 15 that we'll be hearing read to us over the coming weeks are meant to remind us of this. The message we bring of Jesus in the gospel to each other and to all people has brought that blessing even to Gentile sinners, such as ourselves. And my hope and my prayer is that we may be reminded what a good God is. So the book of Jonah begins. It begins in this first chapter contrasting the compassion of our God with the calculated coldness of Jonah. God desires for the people of Nineveh to be saved. Saved from his anger and saved from his judgment. So he calls the prophet Jonah to take the message of salvation to them so that they will be saved. But Jonah, such is his deep-seated racism and hatred for the Assyrians, knowing still that God desires all people to be saved and that God uses his word through his messenger to do that, doesn't want that to happen. And he thinks, if he doesn't go to Nineveh, then the people of Nineveh won't hear God's message. And they won't, if they don't hear God's message, they won't be saved. But experience God's judgment. So Jonah deliberately disobeys God and goes down to Joppa, boards a boat, and with its crew travel in the opposite direction to Nineveh, to Tarshish, Spain. What he'll do there, we don't know. I'm fascinated. If he got to Spain, what was he intending to do there? Thousands of miles in the opposite direction. If you're looking at me and I'm where Joppa is, Nineveh is over here, about 800 k's to the northwest. Doing pretty good so far. And Tarshish over this way to your west is about a couple of thousand kilometres off to Spain. So what he'd do there, I have no idea. Now, we could sit here and we could ponder on the person of Jonah and we could ponder on his personal relationship with God and God with him, and it would be very helpful for us to understand what the Jewish people at the time of Jonah had become in their thinking towards others. But it's best we ponder on God and what we learn of him through all of this. For this is our God. Jonah's God is our God too. Well, we heard the first chapter of the story read to us by Janice, and we know what unfolds. Despite Jonah's disobedience, God will save those he chooses to save from his anger. He will use every means to do so, so that those who are saved can have the certainty of knowing that they are. If you know and love Jesus, you know that God has chosen you and you are saved, and nothing will ever take you out of God's hand. Despite Jonah's disobedience, though, everything in the story, in this first chapter, obeys God. Did you see that? Everything in the story obeys God except Jonah. The sea obeys God and opens up and brings a storm and calms down. The sailors obey God and worship and respect him. And the casting of lots, the dice, even obeys God and points to Jonah. Everything in the story obeys God except Jonah, and God's purposes will always prevail. In his compassion, God desired for the people of Nineveh to be saved, and nothing would stop that from happening. But do you think Jonah got the message? No, he doesn't get the message in this first chapter. I wonder if he'll get the message in the second chapter, or the third chapter, or the fourth chapter. Jonah's request to be thrown into the sea to calm it was no act of contrition or act of kindness towards the sailors, but a cold, calculated plan to undermine God's intent. Even if he drowned, it didn't worry him. For with him dead and at the bottom of the sea, the message would not get to Nineveh, and the people of Nineveh would not be saved. Jonah didn't mind if he died and drowned. "Cast me into the sea," he says, "and the sea will calm for you." And the sea obeyed. But look there in sharp contrast, how good our God is as he moved in the lives through all this experience that was going on in the lives of those Gentile sailors. Let me read to you verses 14 to 16. "They cried out to the Lord." Do we see Jonah crying out to the Lord? "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice the Lord and made vows to him. How good is our God in the lives of these men despite what was going on. Our God's purposes still prevail through the events. God's way always is fulfilled for the good of his name and his people. Turn with me now to the gospel reading from Luke. Can you hear the similarities in the two stories? Can you hear how good our God is in Jesus as we compare the Pharisees and the teachers of the law with Jonah and with our Lord Jesus? Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man, he welcomes sinners and he eats with them." And then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost one? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who don't need to repent. Let me pray. Father, unlike Jonah, through the obedience of Jesus, your servant and son, our Saviour and our Lord, you rescued a sinful world. You rescued us. You chose us and saved us in him. Free us from muttering and fill us with the joy of your salvation. We ask this, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and forever. Thank you, God. You are a good God. How good you are, God. Amen. Well, I wonder what happens rest in the story. Please don't jump to the things, but to see how God continues to unfold his purposes. I wonder if Jonah's going to stay there at the bottom of the sea thinking, "I've out-thwarted God." I wonder what happens next. I think we know. For those of you who don't, though, it's a great story of knowing how good our God is, but ultimately in Jesus. So we're going to now spend a little time in prayer, continuing to talk to our great God together. And Rosemary is going to come up now and lead us in that time of prayer. The wording that's in darker print or in blue on the screen is what we can say in our responses. Thanks, Rosemary.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Merciful Lord, you alone can order our unruly wills and affections. Teach us to love what you command and to desire what you promise, that among the changes and chances of this world, our hearts may be surely fixed where true joys are found, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The set prayer for today. Merciful Lord, you alone can order our... Sorry. Join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. A prayer for COVID-19. Sovereign Lord, you are the hope and healer of your people, and promised a world where there is no more sickness or crying or death. By your death and resurrection, you have set your people free from the penalty of sin and death. We pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prosper the work of those who are seeking a vaccine for the coronavirus. Strengthen those who are treating the sick. Comfort those who are mourning the loss of loved ones or living in fear of this disease. Give to the governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis, and give to your people peace beyond understanding, generous and wise hearts, and a renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety, that they may find that peace which only you can give, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, it's been a long week. We acknowledge our need for you. You remind us in your word that you are faithful to carry our burdens and that you will renew our strength, and you promise to give us rest as we come to you. We ask that you would direct our hearts and minds towards you and fill us with your Spirit, bringing renewal, peace and joy. Forgive us for the times we have worked so hard to be self-sufficient, forgetting our need for you and living independently of your Spirit. Forgive us for letting fear and worry control our minds and for allowing pride and selfishness to wreak havoc over our lives. Forgive us for not following your ways and for living distanced from your presence. Help us never to take for granted the extravagant gift of love you have offered on our behalf, and help us to recognize what you so freely gave in Jesus. Help us to cease striving and to remember again that you alone are God. Thank you that your ways are far greater than our ways and your thoughts are deeper than our thoughts. Thank you that you had a plan to redeem and make all things new. Thank you that your face is towards the righteous. You are close to the brokenhearted and you hear our prayers and know our hearts. Thank you for your daily, powerful presence in our lives so that we can be assured no matter what we are facing. And thank you that you surround us with favour as with a shield, and we are safe in your care. Lord, we pray for your protection over our lives, our families, and all your people throughout the world. We particularly pray for Christians who are persecuted and oppressed, especially in countries like China, Iraq, Somalia, Indonesia, and Turkey. We pray that you will give them discernment and insight beyond their years to understand your will, to hear your voice, and to know your ways. We ask that you would keep their footsteps firm on solid ground, helping them to be consistent and faithful despite great hardship. Give them endurance to run the race, shining your light through them. Help us all to make a difference in this world for your glory, so that your purpose would stand, your purposes would stand, your plans succeed, and may we reflect your peace and hope to a world that so desperately needs your presence and healing. We now pray for this congregation, that we will care for one another and prioritize the need to encourage one another, and we give you great thanks, O God, for bringing us back here together. We continue to pray for those in our congregation and families who are not well or recovering from illness. We continue to pray for Lynn Clark, for David Michaelis and Jean Steele. We pray that you will give to them the strength and resources they need to recover well, and also to those who are caring for them. We pray for our church families and their children as they start school holidays. May this time be a time of fun and refreshment. Keep them safe and help them to draw close to you during this time. O holy God, help us to remain faithful to you in everything that we do. Lord, we pray that everything that we've done, that we've been doing in this place this morning, may glorify your name. May we be faithful in our homes, in our workplaces and businesses, by doing what we have been taught and living our lives according to your word. And so together we say, be exalted, Lord, above the heavens.
Let your glory cover the earth.
Keep our nation under your care.
And guide us in justice and truth.
Let your way be known on earth.
Your saving power among all nations.
Send out your light and truth.
That we may tell of your saving works.
And hear our prayers, O Lord.
For we put our trust in you.
We thank you, Lord, that you reign supreme and we are more than conquerors through the gift of Christ. In the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Please sit back and worship God as we listen into this song, "The Salvation is the Lord. The Lord is my salvation," by Keith and Christy Getty.
Thank you.
Would you please stand with me and let's say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life that's everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. All right, well, let me just pray to finish off with reminding you of the sentence of Scripture that sums up today and our lessons through Jonah and the Luke's Gospel. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your Spirit and send us out with confidence in your word to tell the world of your saving acts and bring glory to your name. Amen. Together the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. The Lord be with you. Thank you.